It's the Ben and Joe Show. It's the best show. Some would say the greatest show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Ben and Joe Show. I'm Joe.
And filling in for Ben, I'm Vladimir Scootin.
Yeah, we are here with the UFO above the White House. That's in the news right now, if you missed it. They went there looking for intelligent life forms and left quickly.
All they found was some tall whites, whatever that means.
How are you making it through tornadoes? You good? You faring okay? There's so many going on out there right now.
I saw most of that going through Iowa. That was bananas yesterday. Hopefully those people are all right, because some of them were huge.
There's more today.
Down here in the Ozarks in northern Arkansas, we've been getting a lot of rain. It's kind of holding off right now, but yesterday was a wet one, and it's been pretty soggy today, a little mist here and there, but yeah, it's been hard to get the energy going the last day or two with all the rainy weather. It makes me just want to sleep.
Yeah, we got a little bit of rain, but we mostly got humidity and warmer temperatures for today, and it's supposed to stay that way for a while. I'm good with it. It's Michigan. I'll take what I can get.
As long as it's not
winter and fall here. Yeah. All right. Well, y'all, we got some stories up for you. We're going to start with this one. It's Roseanne. I covered this on the Stop and Think News podcast, but it's so funny. I just need to share it again. And I used Newsweek to access this Twitter. I'll probably just click through to the Twitter. And we'll watch this video because it's hilarious. Hopefully it plays okay. Let me get it booted up again because I exited out of that Newsweek. And go. Here we go. Let me unmute it. Okay, so the preface here is Roseanne's at the same place as E. Jean Carroll, Bergdorf's dressing room, that whole incident that she stole from a Law & Order episode. Let's play this because I found it to be pretty hilarious.
What happened, Mom? We're big
okay. No, I'm not okay because I just had a horrible flashback, a horrible memory. Right now, I realize that 26 years ago, Joe Biden raped me right here in that dressing room in the shoe department where I went in to change my shoes.
Oh my God.
He raped me right here. Joe Biden, he raped me right here. In the shoe department at Bergdorf Goodman.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not. I need to sue. I need to sue.
There you have it. I gotta get that turned off. But you can see clearly trolling, and the left lost their minds over this. They just want to ape shit crazy. How dare you? She's telling the truth, E. Jean Carroll. And all signs point to that's not true. And I don't know if you heard, but they denied Trump's, appeal. They denied Trump's appeal to that, and they got to take it to a different court now because that's literally one of the only ones they've won. So, of course, they have to deny it. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens, but I just figured I'd play that because that shit's hilarious. That's pretty much how she came up with that. You know what I mean? She's probably just sitting around, I hate Trump, what can I do? Oh, I know, I'll make some shit up.
They'll come after her for slander now, or libel. They're going to hit her up with a lawsuit for just uttering those, you know, even though it was a humorous attempt at, they'll come after her with a lawsuit just for saying that stuff. Just watch. Ugh.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, man. That's how pathetic they are. They can't win without fake lawsuits and so on. We see that with Trump right now, as a matter of fact.
That's all they're doing is trying to bury him in so much litigation that he can't even debate. He can't campaign. I mean, when you're so afraid of your opponent that all you can do is try to run these gold digging skanks after you. Like, I mean, I've been even seeing a lot of left leaning people, like, even saying, hey, this is not okay. Like, when you see lefties even saying this shit has gotten stupid and it's inappropriate to be trying to do this to your political rivals, like, you know, you might want to stop because I mean, it just goes to show you how terrified they are of like another Trump victory, because this is all they can do to like try to slow his momentum down. It's pathetic.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot they're going to do, and everything they have done has only helped him. So good luck.
Good luck.
Good fucking luck, because everybody's sick of shit. Everybody. He could win New York now because of all this, they're saying. So, I mean,
Look at New York. What an embarrassment. Like, wow. Some of these districts I've seen in New York, I'm like, this is your representation there, and this is... I don't understand it. Year after, or decade after decade, places like New York, Chicago, like the Chicagoland area where I'm from, always voting blue, like, and nothing but failure time and time again. You think you might want to switch it up, you know, after a while, see if something else works, because the corruption and disgusting shit and criminality has only gotten worse throughout the decades. Not better. You might want to switch it up.
Yeah, they encourage it. Yeah, they totally... I can't imagine being a citizen in any of these blue states where you're the lesser than illegals, criminals, and other types of yucky people. You know what I mean? Like, I'm out here like you, if you shoot somebody in self-defense, you got to do it just right. You have to be positioned just right. They have to be positioned just right. There can't be any kind of weird shit, you know, that they perceive as like, oh, you just did that to do it, whatever. They arrested that guy for helping people on that subway out there. Remember?
Yeah.
The fuck, man! Like,
I'm seeing people that are getting off in like 6 years for like gang shootings and gun violence, like getting off in 6 years. But then we see Danny Masterson getting what, like 30 years in prison for sex crimes, like taking someone's life. I think I'm not trying to talk bad about people that have experienced sex crimes or rape or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I'm going to say taking someone's life is a step beyond that. And, you know, murder and attempted murder should be a tougher penalty for like a alleged sexual assault charge. Not belittling those that have experienced rape or sexual assault. That's bad, too. You need to face the time for that crime. But I'm looking at like Danny Masterson going to jail for what, 30 years for prison for 30 years because alleged sex crimes with not a whole lot of evidence. But there's people that are, you know, proven murderers are going to get on 6 to 8 years. Like, how is that justice? I don't get it.
I don't understand it myself. I don't understand it myself. I just, all I know is that we currently live in a time where just the stupidest, it's gotta be the dumbest timeline I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, yeah, I can't imagine being alive. Like, I shouldn't say being alive, but like, imagine being from, like, if you could time travel and you were from the 50s or 40s or 30s and somehow you got here now and you're looking around like,
even going back to just when I was in graduating high school in like 1997 to look at modern day and be like, this is where we're at.
Yeah,
this is what we're fast. Going. It's embarrassing. Makes me wonder, like, this shit can't be real, man. This is all, this is a simulation. There's no way we could be this stupid at all.
Newsflash, we are. One sec. I got to get this one booted up real quick. This is Salty Cracker, since we're talking about criminals and stupid shit. Not that he's a criminal and stupid, but the story is fucking stupid. So here we go. This is Salty Cracker. A black man was arrested for allegedly using deepfake audio to frame principal. Now, me and you are both fans of AI, like video, audio, pictures, so on, creation.
Yeah,
so
we have fun.
But this is the dark side. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the dark side of it. Yeah. I saw this earlier today.
Yeah, I just want to, we don't necessarily have to listen to him the whole way. He's got the audio. I haven't found it anywhere else. I haven't had time to look today, but I just think people need to be aware of this because this principal was fired.
You know, I seriously don't understand why I have to constantly put up with these dumbasses here every day. Between these ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag, or these teachers who don't get it, how hard is it to get these students to meet their grade level expectations? Lawrence and Ravenel should have never been hired. And don't let me get started on DJ. I'm going to drag his black ass out of here one way or another. I'm going to get something to stick. I'm just so sick of the inadequacies of these people. And if I have to get one more complaint from one more Jew in this community, I'm going to join the other side.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's the deep fake. I'm going to get him out of here now. Thanks, Salty Cracker, for bringing that one to our attention. So for those who aren't aware, the beginning of our show here, you hear Trump like talking about our show, how great it is or whatever. That's not real, you guys. That is using AI and Trump's voice.
Oh, I thought you actually had Trump saying that about. I thought Trump actually appreciated us. Now I feel kind of shitty.
No, he doesn't even know we exist, bro. Damn. But at the end of the day, so what this dude did was he somehow recorded dude's voice. He's the principal or superintendent or something like that.
The principal.
He recorded, just so people know how this works. Yeah, the principal. You record somebody's voice, you run it through AI, you type in what you want it to say, and it uses your sample of that person's voice. I don't know what program he used because that's pretty awesome, honestly. But anyway, he ran it through the program and got this principal to say a bunch of stuff, then released the audio as if it was real, got caught, and now he's been arrested.
Yeah, he's looking at it. I forget what the charge he's getting. I haven't even seen the exact charge they're trying to hit him with, but like, yeah, AI is going to... Yeah, no, AI is going to open up a whole new league of, felony or misdemeanor charges here. Because, like, I don't know, what is that, like a slander, libel, like impersonation? Like, what AI is going to lead to some new types of crimes that we've not really seen before. Like, you know, how do you copyright your own voice is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, it. If you're impersonating, I mean, I know certain things are illegal, like impersonating an officer of the law, things like that. But, you know, what kind of laws are in place to, like, you know, protect yourself from someone stealing your voice and accessing literally everything in your, you know, your banking, your anything, you know? AI is, it's going to be exploited. I mean, that's kind of funny what happened there, even though it's probably not funny to the principal it happened to, of course. But yeah, it's making me wonder about like what kind of laws they're going to have to put in place as far as like AI. And we're going to be seeing a lot more probably AI crimes in the future.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's funny to some degree, but it's also not funny. Like, I don't know the backstory between those two. Like, why did he do it? Was he just trying to be funny and people just, it kind of spitballed and went out of control and people started believing it was real, even though he was just trolling. What happened there? I didn't hear any backstory on it, so I can't offer any insight to that. Maybe wherever you're listening or watching this, you can comment below if you know. But I just wanted to put that out there because, like you said, this is something that I think we're going to end up seeing a lot more of in the near future because, I mean, there's people that are making entire songs with artists' voice that aren't from that artist, for example. Now, I'm pretty sure their voice is considered copyrighted through the agency. I'm curious to see how that plays out when somebody does that.
I'm curious about, you know, the like someone's likeness, because I'm in a couple of these silly little AI groups on Facebook, and a lot of them try to be like edgelords and post really like really edgy type stuff. Like there's a lot of ones I see like poking fun at Jesus and Jesus like making out with Satan and like Jesus like in a bed with Muhammad and stuff like this, like trying to be edgelords. But then I see stuff like the other day I saw Taylor Swift getting doggy styled by Kermit the Frog. Like at what point can you like say, hey, that's me and you're using my likeness, now I'm gonna sue you for that? And
I don't think Jesus and Muhammad are gonna say much right now, but as far as Taylor Swift, I think didn't she already come out and say something about that?
I think she did say something about it, and I feel like that's what's going to happen next. There's going to be certain types of us, like it'll be under like a slanderous or libelous type suit, like these people having their likenesses used. But you know, as the artist or the creator, you know, of the AI, you could just say, yeah, that's not exactly her. Look, like her fingers are a little different. Like you know, how do you differentiate an AI creation from a real human being at that point?
Yeah. This one actually has a booty. She doesn't. You know what I mean? There's no
clear signs. I shouldn't have to look at things like Kermit the Frog having doggy style sex with Taylor Swift. But she looked like she was enjoying it. Like, I'll be honest with you.
I mean, it's Kermit. He's a fucking champ, right?
Hi ho, Kermit the Frog here. I just got done porking Miss Piggy. You know. Sheesh.
Taylor's turn. All right. All right, this video here, we'll give our takes on it, but we're gonna let this just play. This is one you picked. I'm sure everybody's seen it by now. I think this was a little bit earlier in the week that this was released, but it's also from Salty Cracker.
Yeah, shout out to Salty. Not just trying to bite Salty, but I think he's got a lot of the same spirit energy inside of him that we do as far as just making fun of all of this shit.
How can you not? I mean, if you can't make fun of this shit, then you'll go insane. You really will. We've said this many times on the show. And we've only had two shows, and we've already said it many times. So let that sink in, motherfuckers. All right, here we go.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight?
Hold on, y'all. Let me turn that down a little. For all you who are driving and just worked into a tree, I apologize for that. One second.
It's a protest.
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Yeah. Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
Boom. Dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
No, wrong button.
I hate you.
I saw that and I was like, what is going on? But then it hit me. And this is just my take. Since this whole thing between Palestine and Israel started, we've slowly been hearing the media tell us that anti-Semitism is on the rise. You've heard this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Then you have people saying, okay, if you support Palestine over Israel, then you're pro Hamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which makes no sense. Things like that. But the support in America to not fund Israel, to not fund Ukraine also, not fund all these other countries, has grown tremendously. So if I'm part of AIPAC, which is the Israeli lobbyist group, which I don't understand why we have this here for any country at all, let alone Israel, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, like, you shouldn't have lobbyist groups for countries that are going to lobby to get you to spend money in those countries and not your own. That's a whole other show. So support for Palestine or Hamas is growing in the United States because people paid attention to how it all started, a lot of people. So what would be in your best interest? I think it would be to pay a bunch of fake-ass, learn from the Democrats, pay a bunch of fake-ass protesters, get them all matching tents, everybody saw that, and so on, and have them just be the most obnoxious, vile pieces of shit that you could ever pay to do something. And maybe it'll shift opinions and narratives on the whole thing. That's my conspiracy theory on where all this just all of a sudden started this week. Because it literally just went, boop, this week. Nothing new happened.
Yeah, no. And nothing new has happened. And I don't know. I've seen the media day after day talking about terroristic college students here, and I'm just like, what? And these, they don't even know what they're protesting. This is the embarrassing thing. It's like, you go and ask him, what exactly do you stand for? What is it? What are you protesting for? As you just saw in that clip, like, I don't really know. Free Palestine, though. Free.
They pay me to be here, is what they want to say.
They're being programmed from either their college professors or someone's programming the college professors to program their students to do this dumb shit. And they don't seem to have any fucking clue as to what they're doing. But the thing that cracks me up more than anything is when I see, like, the LGBTQ squad and the rainbow flag people coming out there in support of, like, Palestine and Hamas. I'm like, you do know that they hate gays. They don't want you representing them. They will kill you, right? They kill gays still. Like, that, I mean, They might not kill gays, but they sure as hell don't want you speaking up for them. And, you know, it's just...
Well, they don't in this country. They do in their country.
Oh, yeah.
In their countries, they do.
Yeah, they won't... Yeah, we have laws here, but they're not so protected over there.
Unless you count the Pulse nightclub guy. The Pulse
nightclub guy. Yeah, no. I just... How... Like, it just goes to show you might want to think twice before you spend, like, you know, go $160,000 in debt on a college tuition, you know, because, like, what are our...
Well, and that's the thing. It just came out yesterday that a lot of these protesters actually were paid in these events. It was an organized paid event for a lot of them, not all of the protesters, but they said that they were supplementing the amount of protesters with paid agitators, just like they would do, like they did on January 6th, things like that. I don't know, man. I really feel like Israel's behind it, and I know that there's going to be people out there that are like, fuck you.
Yeah, no.
Like, I don't really care, but look, it just makes sense to me more than a spontaneous, out-of-nowhere protest over Palestine, Israel for no reason.
I get, like, Americans have been conditioned to be supportive of Israel, but like, I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't trust Israel and I don't trust Palestine. I don't have a game. I don't live in either country, and I'm sorry, Israel, but I've seen you do shitty shit. Palestine, I've seen you do really shitty shit. I don't trust either of you, so I'm not putting a foot in the game. Like, I'm sitting back, like I'm a North American citizen. Like, I don't care. Like, y'all need to figure that out. But yeah, I guess it's everything's got to be God blessing North America's problem, though. United States, yeah, we got to get involved in every fucking thing.
Every single thing.
And that's,
yeah, we're like the country equivalent to a Karen.
Yeah, we're the world police. I mean, I've said it before. I just feel like all the United States, like, they stop caring about the United States citizenry here. Like, they don't give two shits about the American people. All we are is literally a junk drawer of resources and military aid for the rest of the world.
Everybody.
The United Nations, if you will. It's bullshit. And I'm tired of us being exploited. You know, maybe if we start focusing on America and the rest of the world, this country would stop being a fucking laughingstock, which it's been turning into slowly over the last couple decades. Post 9/11, this country has really fucking taken a nosedive, like, into a fucking skyscraper. Sorry, that's kind of dark, but... Yeah, this country is really a joke of its former self here lately. And I know there's a lot of people that are getting tired of it, and they're getting tired of seeing us sticking our nose in every last fucking thing. Israel is not really our problem. I'm sorry. I know that we have those relations with Israel, but, you know, Israel...
And nobody can tell me exactly why.
Yeah, same.
Nobody can tell... You know, we put them there back in the...
40s? Is it the 40s or 50s?
After World War II.
Late 40s?
50. Yeah, the Balfour Declaration and all that. And then Israel kept expanding past the agreed upon borders that they were given and expanding past. And that was done through murder and war and so on. And then, let's be honest, that does tend to create terrorists when you are having your grandma killed for land expansion, your kids killed. Things like that. And I'm not saying that Palestine or terrorists are in the right whatsoever, but there's reasoning behind things that they are doing. Whereas, like, we're not allowed to acknowledge that, whereas we have to completely support Israel blindly 100% of the time, day in and day out, or we are anti-Semitic, or we hate Israel. It's like, no, like you said, we don't care about either side. Like, it's not that we don't care, but it's not our business. And I'm sick and tired of being told I have to care about countries that I don't.
Absolutely.
Don't bother me.
It's okay to be empathetic towards, you know, the citizens of these countries. I just don't give a shit about their government and how their government is screwing up everybody in their countries. And, like, I have empathy for the people stuck in these countries where this shit's going on. But as far as, like, their government, that's their fucking problem to figure it out, not the United States. Yeah. And if you want to call me anti-Semitic because, like, I don't stand fully behind, like, and it's funny because I see, like, same with the left-right shit here in the United States. Like, Fox News has adopted to, like, strongly support Israel. I was watching Fox News just briefly the other day, and, like, they have commercials, like, sending, like, support and money to Israeli causes. And then you look at like CNN and MSNBC, and they're like more pro-Palestine shit and just trying to
trying to frame it as a left-wing thing to be pro-Palestine or pro-Hamas. You can't even say most of these influencers and right-wing media are so disingenuous. It's pro-Hamas protesters showed up. It's like they're not. You can clearly see they don't even know why the fuck they showed up, for one. But secondly, they're not pro the terrorist group inside of Palestine. They're anti little children that happen to come near Israel's wall getting shot in the head while the soldiers cheer and high-five each other from the Israel side.
Just another
thing. That's what they're anti, you know?
It's just another issue to divide the two, the left and the right with. It's just, and I've seen like a video of that. He's the nephew of that Shank Younger from the Young Turds or Turks, Hassan Piker or whatever. He was on Piers Morgan and he was like just vehemently defending like Palestine and just dropping F-bomb after F-bomb, trying to swear at the chick supporting like Israel. Like, it's embarrassing. They're trying to get you riled up over shit that really is not our issue. Like, American people, ever. Like, wake the fuck up. This is not our issue, and you shouldn't really. You probably don't even know what's truly going on, but you're going to adopt, like, well, my leftist side says I need to be pro-Palestine, and, or like, you know, like, think for your fucking selves. Like, why do you want to get involved in this shit that really is not your concern? I hate to say that. Like, we all live on the same planet, the same chunk of dirt here in space, but, and it's okay to have some empathy for those going through some hard times. I get that, but at the end of the day, Palestine and Israel, that's not... I don't wake up. That's not my problem. Yeah. I'm sorry. I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, it doesn't affect us one bit. And nobody can tell me why this particular skirmish, why, Russia and Ukraine is our business. Nobody has a valid reason. Well, if Russia takes over Ukraine, then he's just, this is the same story they told us about Hitler with no evidence. Oh, he's going to, you'd be speaking German if we didn't. It's like, show me the proof, because there was no evidence that he wanted to expand anywhere outside of Europe. He had one fucking mission.
Yeah, I don't blame anyone for, like, you know, questioning a lot of what Russia does. But at the same time, I'm questioning Ukraine a lot more. Like, as far as I've seen, like, Ukraine has been a hot spot of, like, a black side, if you will, of, like, U.S. money laundering schemes and shit like that. And so, like, So I'm just going to trust Ukraine blindly, and then I see how much money our government is sending there. And I'm like, what are you really protecting there in Ukraine, motherfucker? Like,
well, they found Russia found that lab, and then our media tried to tell us it didn't happen, and then it came out that it did happen.
Yeah.
And then there was the article about how a bunch of members on both sides of the political aisle were funneling money through Ukraine to be laundered. And then somehow that Sam Bankman-Fried tied into it in some way, shape, or form. That story went away fast as fuck, just like the congressional slush fund story just went poof after that came out. Like, it was literally two days that you heard about it, and then it went away. And so it's interesting to me that we, and I hate to say it, but I think Israel is the same money laundering counterfeit operation that we have going on in the other place. You know,
I feel you. And, you know, so like the Russia-Ukraine thing, like, we've always got to have boogeymen, like North Korea and Russia. Those are two of the go-to boogeymen to, like, try to, you know, guilt us into supporting shit that we shouldn't support. Like, I'm not saying you got to suck Putin's dick, but I think, like, our American media, like, likes shitting on Putin because, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, because he's not a fan of, like, the United Nations, NATO, all that shit. You don't want them stepping on his toes, like... And because he won't play along, instantly you're a boogeyman. And, you know, I don't blame him, like, for saying fuck you to, you know, these, I don't know. I'm not saying I trust Vladimir Putin. I'm just saying, like, I can sympathize with why he doesn't want
to trust him more than I trust Biden.
I trust Putin more than I trust Biden. Oop, I'm a terrorist for saying that now. Like,
yep. It's true, though. Like, I mean, it is what it is. If he gave me a reason to trust him, then it'd be a different story. I found this today. Speaking of different stories, conservatives condemn Kristi Noem for twisted admission of killing dog. Have you heard about this?
I actually haven't, but I actually haven't seen this yet, so I'm curious, because like I'm a huge like you'll hear him often in the background, either even though I just let him out and gave them treats right before you'll hear my dogs here. I'm like John Wick when it comes to my dogs. Like you fuck with my dogs, I'll rip your eyebrows off. You know what I'm saying, in front of your own grandma. But like I have not. I'm curious to see this because I haven't heard about it.
So this says revelation, a new book that possible Trump running mate killed untrainable hunting dog prompts widespread revulsion. So conservative pundits have condemned the South Dakota governor and possible Trump running mate Chrissy Noem amid widespread horror over her admission in a new book that she is both that she killed both an untrainable dog and an unruly goat during a single day in a hunting season.
Whoa! Can so I, let me stop you. Did you just say unruly goat?
Unruly goat. Yeah.
Huh. That's a new one. I would just ship it out to the Middle East. They like that
motherfuckers over there. Alyssa Fair Griffin, a Trump White House staffer turned critic, said, "I'm a dog lover and I honestly horrified by the Chrissy Noem excerpt. I wish I hadn't read it, even read it. A 14-month-old dog is still a puppy and can be trained. A large part of bad behavior in dogs is not having proper training from humans. Dogs are a gift from God. They are a reflection of his unconditional love. Anyway, anyone who would needlessly hurt an animal because they are inconvenient needs help." I'm going to agree there if that's really true. The Guardian revealed Noem's story, which is contained in a book out next month in No Going Back, The Truth, What's Going Wrong with Politics and How We Move America Forward. Holy shit, that's a long title. Noem describes her frustrations with Cricket, a 14-month-old wire hair pointer who Noem says ruined a pheasant hunt and killed a neighboring family's chickens. I hated that dog, Noem writes, saying Cricket was untrainable, dangerous, and less than worthless as a hunting dog. At the moment, Noem says, I realized I had to put her down at that moment. Noem describes taking Cricket to gravel pit on her farm and shooting her. Sounds like a goddamn mafia hit. Remarkably, Noem then describes how she also chose to kill an unruly, unnamed, uncastrated goat, first botching the job, then finishing the animal off with a third shotgun shell. So I'm not sure why anyone would brag about this unless they're sick and twisted. This is Rachel Babe, senior Washington correspondent for Politico. Where did she... Noem responded by doubling down. "We love animals," she said, "but tough decisions like this happen all the time on a farm. Sadly, we just had to put down three horses a few weeks ago that had been in our family for 25 years. Okay. Yeah, that's understandable, the horse thing. I get that. That happens. But a dog, like, because it's unruly, untrainable, there's no such thing. You could have paid to take it for training. You could have gotten it a collar to teach it better. You could have. There's all sorts of avenues. I don't know, man.
Give it to a family who needs a dog. Why would you just put a dog down, like, for those reasons? I don't like yourself that does,
at that. Like, what a psycho.
Yeah, like, for real. Like, I couldn't. I don't think I could do that. Like, you.
I mean, I get, like, it if it bit a child and injured a child. Something serious. Oh, it spoiled a pheasant hunt and it ate somebody's chickens. Okay, that's a dog.
Yeah, that's what dogs do. One of our dogs here, the oldest husky here, Jack, it's technically my buddy BJ's dog. It is my buddy BJ's dog, but it's funny the way he got Jack the husky. His nickname was Jack the Ripper because he was a farm dog at first when he was a little pup. But during the middle of the night, they had like a chicken farm out there. Well, during the night, one night, Jack went on a slaughter spree and slaughtered dozens of chickens. He got into the chicken coop, and I think he killed like 30, 40-something chickens in the middle of the night. And those people, they were about to shoot Jack. And they got a hold of one of my buddy BJ's pals, and it's like, look, you either find somebody to take this dog or we're putting him down. And that's when my buddy BJ, like, stepped in and took Jack, and he didn't. He doesn't have a farm or chicken, so we weren't worried about it. But I mean, I've seen similar things. One of the dogs here was almost put down because of what he did to some chickens. But luckily, found a place to put him where there was no chickens for him to, like, cause that kind of damage again. I mean, let's be real. Yeah, if I've eaten a lot of chickens, And let's be real. If I was a dog and I see these goofy things clucking around, I'm gonna spot them. I'm gonna shred them. Like they're chickens are annoying.
Our dog last year, we adopted him, and I was like kind of worried about that whole thing. If you follow me on Facebook or whatever, he's a shepherd, and we don't know what other mix. They said Australian shepherd, German shepherd mix, but I'm not so sure about the Australian shepherd. So anyway, he's gone. He will keep the chickens off the porch. He will herd the chickens sometimes, and once in a while, he'll rip feathers out of the chickens. I'm shocked. He hasn't eaten them. If we tell him to stop, he usually stops. You know, he hasn't killed one. It's been a year. He's had ample opportunities. So, I mean, we kind of lucked out like that.
Do you just have the one dog?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
We got a cat and a dog for inside the house, and if we got anything more than that, we'd all be shoved up each other's ass. It's small in here, you know. It's just a log home.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, the whole front of the house anymore is pretty much just a dog den here. Like, we are a dog household. Five of them. So, yeah, they're my buddies, though. You know what I mean? Like, they bring – dogs bring me joy, man. I'm a big puss. Like, I can handle watching human after human getting killed in a movie, but as soon as, like, a dog in a movie gets killed – bro, I'm like this. I'm like, I'm not crying. Like,
that was interesting. I saw that. I figured we should talk about that today because that's an interesting take that she compared to a dog that can't be trained. There's very few dogs that I've ever seen that can't be trained. I mean, that is something that exists, but maybe if she went down the same routes that I had mentioned, maybe she did hire a trainer and he didn't learn. Maybe she did use collars and it didn't work. Maybe she did. Then say that.
Yeah.
Don't just come out and say, which tells me that I don't think she did do any of those things. She just decided it's spoiled the pheasant hunt and therefore needs to die. And we used to have landlords/neighbors back in the day, and their dog was blind and he kept coming down to our house for attention. They were getting ready to have this big 4th of July party. We heard a gunshot the day before and never saw that dog again because they didn't want him running into things because he's blind.
Oh, man.
We'd have happily kept him down with us, like tied him up or whatever and kept him with food.
That type of shit breaks my heart, man. Like, I really can't stand when people get dogs, just either get rid of them or worse, like, you know, execute them. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Dogs are just, they're very loyal, loving there's some that are raised to be mean and be vicious. Like,
for sure.
It's all on how you train and raise that dog and the environment you put it in. And you can train a dog. Dogs, we have three huskies here. They're a very stubborn breed, high energy. And especially when they're younger, they love chewing the shit out of things. And some might call it cruel to like crate dogs, but like huskies, you kind of have to like give them a little like a cage or a crate when they start off, because like starting off, you can't really leave the house.
They have no boundaries.
Yeah. They got to learn their boundaries, but then they also like the little security of having their own little, there's only one instance where I have to crate anymore. And that's at feeding time, because our young male husky, he's a bit of a bully. He's one of the biggest dogs here. So he likes to bully the other dogs out of their food. So to let the other ones eat in peace, who all can not fight about the food and shove each other out of the way, I put him in a cage while he's eating, just to let the other ones eat in peace. So he's not up there, because he likes to just, especially the old Jack, like he'll push Jack out of the way and be like, this is my food now or my treat. Like, so,
yeah.
You know, they can be stubborn, and you try to train, you can train them. And sometimes that works. Sometimes it takes more time on certain things, but you know, when you love dogs, yeah, don't shoot. Like, that's not like, you know, just because he's a little bit of a bull, like, what? I'm not putting a down dog for some silly reason. Like, you know, dog would have to do something terrible, like eat a child or something like that before I'm talking about shooting one of my dogs.
Somebody really bad or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even then, if it's to some degree, like, well, I think if it bit somebody, you wouldn't really have much of a say. I think that the dog pound would get involved or whatever, the dog catcher. I think that's what happened. Animal control would show up and you wouldn't be left with much of a choice. But
it's got to be a responsible, loving pet owner and do your best to avoid those situations. Try to train your dog to, you know, you got to, there's like, dogs are very childlike. You know, when you're doing things, you got to like incentivize them. You know, when they do good, you get a treat. When you do bad, you get a timeout. You know what I mean? Like, there's it's like they're like little children, and you gotta. But when I hear stories about someone shooting their dog over a stupid reason, like that just breaks my heart, man. It's like, oh man, like I'd have taken their dog.
Wasn't a huge Chrissy Gnome fan to begin with, and now I'm just kind of like, huh, well, guess I was right. All right, so this next, this is the last of two things that we're going to be covering. This is from you. I think you said this is your favorite broadcaster to appear on in the media, and you wanted to go over this.
Just a little bit of the beginning. I'll tell you when to cut it off. I just wanted to, just a little pretext here. Like this is professional American journalism. Listen to how much unnecessary shit this dude. This is a man, right? Rachel Maddow. That's a man, I think. But
you know who she always reminded me of? The nerdy kid from The Simpsons with the glasses. Like, you know who Milhouse? I'm talking about?
You're talking about Milhouse? Yes. Like, no, I just want to pretext here. Just I'll tell you when to cut it off, because after a while she'll just start getting into the actual things. But just the right. How she sets this up.
I was at the courthouse today in Manhattan. I was in the courtroom for opening statements for this first criminal trial of the former president. I can report firsthand that the courtroom smells like old soup and stale breath. I can report that the police officers who policed the court.
Well, it was probably her that was causing that.
Room are working very hard and they appear to be very stressed. I can report that Judge Marchand is soft-spoken and has what I think would be universally considered to be a pleasant voice. I can report that Prosecutor Matthew Colangelo speaks exactly like Seth Meyers speaks when Seth Meyers is not telling jokes. I can tell you that the first witness, David Pecker, accidentally gave out his whole phone number today when the prosecutor just asked him to confirm the last four digits. He was trying to remember the last four digits, and in order to get there in his head, he said the whole number out loud and oops, didn't mean to do that. I can report that former President Donald Trump looks a lot older than he used to, and that it seemed to me, in my subjective take, that he seemed miserable to be there. But you know, I look a lot older than I used to look as well. And I think anybody's got a right to look miserable when they're sitting in a courtroom charged with dozens of felonies as a criminal defendant. The courtroom is bare bones. It is not large. It is inelegant. It has unflattering lighting. Like I said, it does not smell good. And everybody is very tense. What you I mean right to there. Present to you with all of this.
Just like... how much unnecessary I remember once when like MSNBC was kind of like respected and like people actually went there for news, but I just wanted to take the time to like ask who the fuck is watching this shit. Like how much unnecessary, like, and you hear the people behind the camera or like to her sides, whatever, just laughing and like sniffing their own farts, like on her attempts to be humorous about, you know, Donald Trump looking old, it smells like old soup. Like, this is professional journalism, all this unnecessary dog shit. Like, who is watching this trash? Like, this...
Sadly, I know a person that watches MSNBC, specifically her.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Not well, or anything. It's an older lady. I hope her with her computer and stuff. Friend of mine's mom. Oh.
I hate to hear that.
Yeah. Very TBS-driven, not... And that's the point to her.
Like, but, you know, I could see just the, whatever happened to just the facts, but you got to spin your story to include
she
as much.
She literally said nothing that was relevant in that whole, however many, what was that, over a minute of her talking, and she said nothing relevant. Trump looks a lot older, blah, 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 but to be fair. And then she tried to call herself objective. I about fell out. I'm like, this is the Russiagate bitch that pushed Russiagate up until Trump left office, only to find out it was all fake, like everybody said.
I'm just, how does this, like, look, I her and Don Lemon, RAP Don Lemon, like, you're no longer with us on CNN, bud, because I think enough people complained to finally get your ass off the air because you were insufferable and you thought you were protected and could say any stupid shit that you wanted to because you were... Yeah, double minority status. That didn't protect his ass. He was black and gay, so he thought he was invincible.
He also rails about white people and white privilege, and he married or dating a white guy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You could see right through. Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get people to rally to, like, you know, I'm not saying do anything threatening or bad, but, like, people need to complain until shit like this is off the air. Like, I'm sorry. If you're a lefty, cool, but, like, how unnecessary was the whole minute and 30 opening of what she said? She said nothing relevant to the case. It was just a bunch of adjectives describing.
It sounded like a second grade report on their trip to the courthouse.
Yeah, exactly. It's like grade school shit. Just trying to throw as many smearing details in there to paint a picture. But to me, that's not journalism. That is fucking embarrassing. Like, how do you call yourself a professional journalism and then behave like that on the fucking air? Like, look at me. I'm not claiming to be a professional journalism. I don't think you are either. And we have, like, a little bit of a, you know, we're a little...
No interest in it.
Yeah, exactly. We might say some things that you can't get away with saying on TV, like F-bombs or...
Yeah, like fucking
whatever,
shit.
But we're not trying to do that because we don't want to do that. Because look at what it's devolved into, like, that shit. Like, that's a pundit. Like, I'm just saying, like, people need to, like, seriously, get a brain cell. Like, if you look up to that for, like, your information and facts, well, you got to sit through, like, 2 minutes of fucking Rachel Madcow fucking talking about how the courtroom smells like old soup and it's Donald Trump's fault and unflattering lighting. Like, what does that fucking have to do with the case? Like, I'm just like, people... These are not journalists anymore. These are fucking propagandists. Like, wake the fuck up. Like, I know that that's, like, a lot of what we talk about. It should be very simple and basic to a lot of people that would actually sit and watch our show. But we just need to call more shame to this shit. We need to call for better journalistic integrity.
She gets paid a lot of money for that, too. Yeah. A lot of money.
And then people will say,
me and you are doing this shit. We ain't getting paid shit. We're having fun doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she's out there miserable every night.
You and I don't write a script. We might, the most we do is, like, especially you, look for some stories to talk about, and we just free flow. We're not sitting here writing up a whole fucking, you know, 3-day fucking script for the show. We come in and we just say what's on our mind because, like, I feel like that
should be.
We might stutter and stammer and make a little mistake here and there, but it's from the heart. It's not fucking dog shit journalism. Like, right. And the people will be like, well, you want to make fun of CNN and MSNBC. You just like every, I've gotten called like a Fox viewer just because I've dunked on like CNN or MSNBC. And I'm like, I don't watch Fox News either. Like I don't really watch any mainstream news anymore. Like, sorry about you, but just because I don't like CNN and MSNBC doesn't mean I'm sucking Fox's dick either. I'm going to like more. Yeah, no, I search out my own news, or I get a lot of news from independent things that just stick to the facts. Like, this shit is just, that's an embarrassment. Like, that's on national TV, but you look at a lot of their viewership numbers, and like, I see like these people on Rumble and YouTube basically getting more viewers in this shit that's on like national TV, and that they should just be embarrassed for themselves. I mean, we're a new channel, so our numbers aren't quite there yet, but like, you know,
hey, we get plenty of views for being three shows in, man.
But, I just had a dunk on
I wrote George Soros, see if he wanted to fund us, and all I got back was a Xerox copy of his ass.
Oh, I did too. All I got was I got the Xerox copy of his ass, and I got a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. Like, what am I going to do with this?
I mean, you're going to have to wear that shit.
I actually already used it, but I used it to clean up some dog piss in the living room. No, I just used it to soak up some dog pee-pee.
Yeah, the media has devolved into just a bunch of grade school clowns that are, it's all just, not that we aren't, but people don't watch us for like serious news articles or anything, but at the same time you turn on the media and it's literally just a bunch of opinionated slanted, no matter what side slanted, just it's whatever you hear on MSNBC you can guarantee that you're going to hear the exact opposite on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way that it's supposed to be. And it's the same companies that own all these they own OAN, they own Newsmax, they own all of them.
And Fox News is guilty of doing the same type of shit, but, you know, to maybe not as horrible as what I think MSNBC and CNN are the two most foul news networks out there. But Fox does the same shit. They'll say a lot of unnecessary shit just to like slander the other side. I'm like, like 20 years ago, CNN didn't behave like this. Before Donald Trump came out, like people were still watching, or before Donald Trump was elected, CNN was still viewed by, like, my parents used to watch CNN daily for their news. But that was like before they went all in on the leftist, like left, right, like I hate Donald Trump shit. And then as soon as Donald Trump took office, you saw certain networks just, that's all they would talk about. And then the Russia, like shaming their audience into
Stormy, Russia. What was some other one? You know what I mean? Like, it's
exactly. Like before Donald Trump, like I remember, like, I don't ever recall these fucking salty ass news organizations shaming their audience into who to vote for. It was never that political. They might have had like a little bit of a left wing spin or a little bit of a right wing spin.
It was neutral for the most part, yeah.
But after Trump took office, like, wow, these networks show their true colors, and that's all they've dwelled on since. Like, look at MSNBC and CNN. Every day, something they got to cry about Donald Trump. And
well, to me, like, Fox News kind of lost me, which they never really had me, but they I totally was back when Bush was president, and they defended every single thing that he did, which was, for the most part, all bullshit crap that he did. It was just all, I mean, like I said, last show, he started the work, laid the groundwork for Obama to finish.
Oh, yeah.
And that's literally what happened. And people can argue all day with me about it. I'm not going to change my mind. He didn't do anything good for the country.
No.
Neither one of them did. But Bush, you can't tell me that Bush did anything good. He found a reason to go to war with another country that his daddy failed in. And that's really what it comes down to.
And that's why I stay an independent, because I've seen dog shit on the Republican side. I've seen a lot of dog shit on the Democrat side.
Dog shit on the Democrat side. It gets worse.
I stay an independent. Yes, I do probably lean, you know, conservative with a lot of my views, because I just can't lean to the left on any of their shit. They've been hijacked by like basically Marxist great dog people, shit. Yeah. And thanks Obama, but you know. Oh, but we don't like Obama because we don't like black people, right? That's our main issue with Obama. It's because he's black and we're racist. That's why we don't like Obama. Not because he sold us out or anything like that and continued to sell us out and fucking installed people that actually hate our fucking country to positions of high power in this country and attacked our police and then intensified. He set race relations back like 25 years in this fucking country.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to the shit that he was stirring up and supporting loudly. No, but none of that matters. It's because he's black. It's because we don't like Barack Obama, right? Yeah. No.
It's always a go-to. Yeah. Well, the last story that I wanted to cover, just simply because it's hilarious, I think. I mean, probably not so funny if you're one of the men.
Oh, ooh.
So Grindr, the gay dating app, got caught selling the HIV status of potentially thousands of users to advertisers, lawsuit says. So there's hundreds of people who use Grindr, a dating social network app for the gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer community, have filed a lawsuit claiming the company monetized sensitive information such as HIV status without users' consent. In the suit, which was filed in the UK, the plaintiffs allege Grindr disclosed user information about their health, sex lives, sexual orientation, which, I mean, hello, to advertisers without user knowledge, breaching data protection laws. More than 670 people have signed their names to the class action, and thousands more Grindr users interested in joining the suit, according to the London-based law firm from Austin Hayes, which filed the suit. Grindr owes it to the LGBTQ plus WXYZ community it serves to compensate those whose data had been compromised and had suffered distress as a result, and to ensure all of its users are safe while using the app. Okay, so the same typical BS language. They sold their fucking HIV status so that drug companies that make HIV drugs, I'm assuming, can target them in their Facebook feed, and now they're victims. This happens to us all the time. Like, I can literally think something by my phone and it'll show up on Facebook.
Yeah.
But same. When you're a protected class, it's a different story. So I just thought that was humorous that the quintessential gay, whatever they listed, dating app was literally selling the sexual statuses and HIV status of the people on their platform. And if that's not clown world, I don't know what is. I mean,
no, that's
those specific dating sites that are specifically catered, farmersonly.com, Grindr, they've got all these different niche like dating sites. And I always felt like, remember that one that came out, unvaccinated dating or something?
Oh God.
And everybody was like, yeah, don't go there. They're just trying to track you. I've always thought that about these types of apps. And look at all the slimy shit that's happened because of the Grindr app. Little kids meeting up with adult men.
Oh God, yeah. All that kind of shit. The catfishing, all that horrible shit. Like, I'll be honest with you, I've never tried online dating. I'm not good at dating in real life. What the fuck makes me think I'm going to do any better with somebody behind a fucking computer screen? You know what I'm saying? Like, God bless.
Met my wife online, and we've been married over 20 years. Not on a dating site, on a site called Pogo. It used to be pretty big back in the day, and it was a gaming
I know what you're talking about. That's funny because I think I have a friend who actually met a husband through like one of those gaming sites or whatever. I don't know. And my sister, I believe, got married through an online relationship. It works for some people, man. I'm just awkward, dude. So I don't expect anyone to put up with me. So I have like no self-esteem when it comes to dating. I'm like, you don't want any of this. Like, I tried the whole marriage thing once. If I want to get manipulated and fucking bled dry for money, like, I'll do it myself. Like, I don't need someone else. Like, I'm bad at picking them, bro. I'll be honest with you. So, I love women out there. Like, look, love you, ladies. I just don't have any luck with you. So we're cool being single. I got plenty to keep me busy. I don't even know where I'd find time to stick a relationship in my life these days. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not what I consider the most busy person. I still don't know where I'd fit it in. I just don't. No. So I sit here just watching weird YouTube videos every night, and at least I'm not getting nagged at being like, oh, you're playing the PlayStation. Like, I'm sorry, I'm playing.
She'll watch me. She was watching me. I brought it down because I feel kind of bad just gaming up here in the room in case she needs something or whatever. So I brought it down. I was playing Fallout 4 all night. She's reading a book on her phone. We just kind of hang out in the same room, you know. Doesn't sound fun to everybody, but, dude, we're in our 40s. What are we supposed to do?
What are we supposed to do? Speaking of Fallout 4, I actually just started the beginning part of Fallout 4 the other night. Never played it before. I just started it out. And looks like it's going to be a huge game, though, so that's going to take some time.
I said Fallout 4. It's 76 I'm playing now. But Fallout 4, I've played through that twice at least. I love that game, dude. Love it.
I like the intro. It was pretty cool. I was like, I've never touched the Fallout series, but now my one buddy's been playing it like the last 2 weeks, but he's already played it before and sunk well over, I think, 200 hours into that game or something like that.
You can do it easy. There's so many missions, so many side missions. We're doing the end of the show talking about Fallout again, but hey, listen, it's a fun-ass game, and if anybody hasn't played it, I highly recommend Fallout 4, especially New Vegas is good, too. But they're working on an upgrade for that, so the graphics are better or whatever. I downloaded it on my Xbox. Oh my God, the graphics are so horrible! I can't play it. Like
they just did an update. They just updated Fallout 4 on the PS5 here. There was just an update like a day or two ago. I don't know what all they updated, but there was an update for it. And I'm like, huh? Well, this game's been out for a while, and they're still putting out patches and updates. So that's.
It's never lost popularity. It's gaining more popularity now that the show's come out or whatever. Like, I can't go through my Facebook shorts or whatever without at least 20 Fallout-themed videos regarding the games and stuff. But I got Fallout 76 because the show came out, and when that game first came out, all people did was bitch about it. So I was like, well, I'm going to stay away from it. You know what I mean? So I stayed away from it. I didn't want it to ruin my Fallout memories or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then it was free on the Xbox because the show came out, and I asked my kid, I'm like, any good? He's like, yeah, they've updated a bunch. I've heard good things now. And dude, my nose has been buried in that for 3 days. it's like Fallout 4, but there's like, you could be on there with me.
See, right? Yeah, no, I heard a lot of people bitching about it, but it's funny you say that because I've been hearing a lot of people coming back to it now and saying, okay, there's been some improvements and they're actually enjoying it. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said a lot of them are just saying it's weird because they're not used to seeing other people in it, and they're like,
exactly it. Yeah.
And now some people are embracing it a little bit more. I think it's finally getting a little bit of love. So I don't know.
I'm liking it. It's got all the side stories. It's got all the missions that any other Fallout game would have. It's just that there's people there. You know,
I feel like we could do like our political channel, and we should start a separate video game channel because we could probably rant about both for like hours.
That's a good idea, actually.
It's a track of time.
Just fucking play video games and talk about video games. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like there's not a whole lot to do when the weather's bad or nighttime. Like I don't, my younger days, like living in the Chicagoland area, I always had to be going out to club hopping or bar hopping with my friends and looking for girls and all that fun stuff. Now I'm old, man. I'm 44 years old. I'm like, I'm happy if I can just come home at the end of the day, relax, take a nice hot shower, and then play video games for like an hour or two before I go to bed. And like, exactly. I'd rather do that than go out and blow my... I'd rather spend a couple bucks on a video game and stay safe at home.
I never really did like bars, though, if I'm going to be honest. They weren't somewhere I like to go. I've never been a social person per se, which is odd considering I do podcasts and I ran a compassion club for cannabis and all that and all that. But it's like I'm not a super social person. I'll to go somewhere and pay top dollar for shit you can buy at the store and make your own of for like way cheaper and not have some drunk guy bumping into your chair the whole night screaming about some fucking shit. Like I mean unless it's like a friend of yours.
I've done a full circle from when I was younger. If I wasn't out doing something, I felt like a loser and I'd get that depressed feeling. But now I'm the complete opposite. Like I'm actually okay going home and just I think it's because I used to think with my dick too much and I'd always want to be going out to the clubs with my homies looking for girls. But now that I'm old and I realize how much of my time I wasted doing that shit, I'm like, let's scale it back a little bit. And, you know, just, I'm just happy to honestly these days have a roof over my head and got a couple buddies I could talk to online. And it might be geeky to some, but I'd rather do that than be spending every night at a fucking bar anymore. Like I just, no, thank you. And yeah, as far as like drinking or I don't feel like paying $12 for a drink that I can make at home for like three. And not to mention cops are always waiting outside the bars around here anyways, looking for people to pull over. I'd rather do that shit at home where it's safe. You know what I mean?
I can pretty much only drink Corona, and I bought a 12-pack last night for the first time in, God, I don't even remember how long, January maybe. And, you know, I think I got about five left out of that motherfucker. But the 12-packs cost like, you figure 15, 17 bucks somewhere in there after the bottle deposit nonsense. You go to a bar, you're paying like $4 to $5 a beer.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do it, man. I got kids. I can't afford that shit, man. Yes. Even if I could, just to have all these obnoxious people.
Yeah. No, now I find it, now I'm the opposite. I find like the bar scene obnoxious. I used to like going and doing that shit when I was younger. Now I'm like, nah, no, thank you. I'm like, that's a great place to go bump into a skeezy ex-girlfriend. No, thank you. Or all the fucking jocks eyeballing you, like trying to start shit, like all these macho ass motherfuckers. Like, you looking at that girl? That's my girl. I'm trying to talk to her. Like, nah, I'd rather just stay home.
It's a girl, bro.
Not these days. Yeah, I'm like,
I don't know. With a penis. Yeah. Well, guys. We actually weren't even planning on a whole hour show. We're an hour and 3 minutes over. Not to brag or anything. We went for an hour together, Ben.
Damn, dude. Like, that's a pretty good stamina. We'll keep it a little shorter than that. I know you might have some things going on here in a little bit. Like,
oh, yeah.
The length will vary a little bit depending on our mood. You know what I mean? That's what she said.
Yeah, I think we had a pretty good show. We covered some good topics, and I hope everybody else enjoyed the show. Until next time, guys, we will talk to you soon. Keep an eye out every Saturday unless something changes. Did you want to say something? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying glad to spend another evening bantering with you, man. I always look forward to it.
Oh, yeah. We always, they love us. Yeah. Bro, we got to talk about this stupid shit so people can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if we don't talk about it, then Rachel Maddow will. And then they won't even know anything about anything, just how shit smelled and looked.
Just so. all I remember about that, I already forgot most of that story. Something about her outer labia smelled like rancid clam chowder. I don't even, allegedly. Let's not get sued, but
I'm gonna go with that's not allegedly, but I will. All right, guys. Sure. Until next time, I hope you all have a great week. Me and Ben out. Later.
Signing off. Laters.
Striking all over the world. There's lightning striking all over the world.